But for now, the title of the message is love. And as this year, as I have stated, I started out with asking the question, if you were God, how would you get a message to humanity? And I'll simply answer it this way. If I was God, I would be doing what God would be doing, and nothing else would be, it would be the same as it is already. So the answer to the question is, how do you see God working in this world, is really where I wanted to end up at. And for scripture readings throughout this Advent season, I tried to do something different, pick out passages in which I thought were important or stood out a little bit in my understanding of the bigger picture of Christmas, because there's a lot of history that goes up to building up to when Jesus came and was born in a manger. And this week is about King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know how many people know the story about King Nebuchadnezzar, but he was a king of Babylon when Babylon was really great and at the peak of Babylon. And he had several dreams, and Daniel was involved in this. And this was during the time in which the first temple was destroyed, and the Israelites people, or what was that wasn't really Israelites, it's the tribe of Judah. It was the three remaining tribes were in captivity in Babylon. And Daniel was one of the people who was like a priest or a seer from the Hebrew people or from the Israelite people or the tribe of Judah. And he interpreted dreams. And there's several dreams leading up to this one, but I don't have time to get into all of them. And the way I understand a lot of the seers of the day and the soothsayers and what have you, charmers and diviners and astrologers, couldn't necessarily interpret the dreams like in Egypt and as well as Daniel, was they had a book, they had to know the dream, and then they would go into these books or clay tablets, and they would decipher what each thing meant in a person's dream or the king's dream, and then they would give it to the dream, interpretation of the dream out of these books or clay tablets. Well, what happened was a lot of times that the meanings and whatnot were not written into the books, and so they couldn't decipher them. And Daniel had the ability, through the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Most High, would input upon his brain or his mind or his thoughts not only the dream, but the interpretation of the dream. And so he had a great advantage over a lot of the so-said soothsayers of the day or the magicians of the day. I will not say that they had no power, strength, or no understanding. They just had what they had at the time. They didn't have God's Most High Spirit, according to the story. And so one day, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a mighty king, and he rose up to great power, and he had a dream. And he went to his astrologers and wanted to test them, and he said to them, well, if you're really true in your understanding and can do what you say you can do, then you can... you see the dream without me telling you. And they couldn't do that. They said, we can't do that. No one can do that. No one can, without you telling us the dream, actually know what you dreamt. And so he was going to kill a lot of his people, his magicians and astrologers. And Daniel, in this whole process, I'm combining some stories. And Daniel and his great wisdom, they knew about him. And they said there was a person named Daniel that could do just that. And so the king called him up, of course, and asked him to interpret the dream. And he saw this tree that was mighty, and it had birds living in it and animals around it. And it had a lot of life in it. There's a lot of things going on in this tree. And then a watcher or somebody, it says watcher or messenger, came down in his dream and said to cut it down. but not to pull the roots out. And so he was disturbed a little bit by the dream, and the stump was supposed to be capped off with metal, and but yet still remained in the ground. And so he said, I'll start reading here in a little bit. And the story is written by giving from an eye, King Nebuchadnezzar, a personal account, so to say. And it says, this is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, which is another name for Daniel, I'll just use Daniel. And now Daniel told me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because you have the spirit of God the Most High in you. Now that's another term. I'm going to speak along the way as I read, so, and then I'll have comments, get into a little bit more. So Daniel introduced to us the God of the Most High, which in my world, in my understanding of a hierarchy, is something higher than God of the Israelites, or Yahweh. That is in my understanding of it. There are other people, because I believe in a hierarchy that exists in the heavens. There's not just one thing happening in the heavens. And so Daniel introduces us to the idea of the Most High. And then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, and there is a Belshazzar also. So it's kind of confusing later on who was the king after King Nebuchadnezzar. So don't get them confused. He was greatly perplexed because Daniel saw the dream and he knew he had to tell the king something he didn't want to hear. And nobody wants to tell the king what he doesn't want to hear. Yeah, okay. You're getting the drift. I now that some of you start laughing, I never knew that it would be so tightly associated with the events that are happening today. I'll insert here how I came about with getting this message. I had several weeks back, I was given titles to Shane. I think I gave him three at one shot. And then I said, okay, Lord, what am I going to do for Christmas service? And I opened, when I get to my Bible, and I opened right up to this spot right here that I'm using. And so I said, okay, now how's that going to work? He said, never mind, you'll figure it out. And so that's what I had to do. I kept asking myself this question all the way through Advent season. Now, how is this going to work out for the Christmas story? But in the end, I hope you see where I'm going. But anyway, you can associate what is happening around us today a lot in this story. I'll just come out and say it. I wasn't going to say that, but I, seeing how you already are starting to recognize that. But he was he didn't want to tell him what was going to happen to him. And what the dream meant was that he was going to, unless King Nebuchadnezzar turned away from his ways, prideful, self-centered, egotistical ways, he was going to be brought down low, but not ruined completely until he would fall into God's submission and recognize his power above him. I know people want to say something, but he didn't want to do that. And I'll read this part here. And then he said, as this happened, after he found all this out and understood that, and Daniel wasn't, had his head chopped off or nothing like that, or had to retire or whatever, he was okay with it. And about 12 months later, it says, as the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon. So everybody, whoever knows the history of Babylon, Babylon was a beautiful place at the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's gardens and what have you. It was a really, really, supposed to be a really, really beautiful place. And so he was up there admiring this. And all that he did, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. Those words just echo, don't they? And even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you, and you will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like oxen. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth and given them and gives them to anyone he wishes." And immediately what has been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from his people, and he ate grass like oxen. His body was drenched with dew from heaven, this is all foretold in the dream, until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails, fingernails and toenails, grew like the claws of a bird. So it was probably a time, it says about seven times, I figure that's about 7 years. Correct me if I'm wrong, I consider a time as being a year in the Bible. Because it's done by cycles of the moon and sun and what have you, it's done by cycles. And so this is a big argument. When you get into prophecy, which I try to stay away from, times and half a times and all this kind of stuff, you have to calculate all that kind of stuff in this. It's all kind of, it gets a little murky and manipulative. Anyway, so for about 7 years, he's wandering around out there, and this great king who had all this self-glory and self-pride was lowered down to where he was nothing but an animal, or like an animal. And then the story goes on, verse 34 in Daniel 4, says, "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever." And this is what he said. "His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of the heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At the same time that my sanity was restored," King Nebuchadnezzar is saying this, "my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and I became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." So says ends the reading of the scripture. I heard on this morning the news on one of the ABC News, I think it was. One of the commentators says, "I have the spirit of giving, but I haven't bought anything yet." I kind of like that phrase. I have the spirit of giving too. And again, I started out with this idea of, you know, if you're God, how would you get a message to humanity? I'll comment a little bit more about that later. December 21st was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to orbit the moon. We celebrate 15 years of on December 21st, in 1968. It was a big accomplishment in what we did. Throughout history, we call to memory many events that have happened in the past. Some are given high places of celebration in our world, our country, and in our lives. And some have personal meanings and are celebrated with family and friends. We are called each time this year at this time into celebration of an event that happened more than 2,000 years ago. We are called to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. A love that cannot be contained, nor ever end, nor ever be used up. A love that has many ways of expressing itself and showing itself. Giving, loving others, giving gifts, and contributing goodwill to others. Sometimes, though, we can get caught up in the the whole persona of Christmas, and we forget the true meaning. We don't want to be a bah humbug person. I try not to be that way. There is a great mystery expressed in Christmas. God with us in an infant baby. And as I said a few times, just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we have to deny it. We should have a spot in our yes, I accept, I believe, no, I don't believe as mystery. We should hold a mystery up there somewhere and have this group of things that are a mystery. Yes, we should work on them and try to understand them, but we're not going to understand everything. I think that was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. He thought he ruled and reigned and he was the top of the pile and there was nothing more than him. And he got shown that he wasn't. It's easy to get caught up. Paul expressed this great mystery to the Ephesians in the phrase, principalities, powers, and authorities in the heavenly realms. And for me, Emmanuel, God with us, came from all of that mystery. I don't pretend to understand all of it. I don't pretend to understand much of it. But I am not going to hear and stand up and say that it's not true and it never happened just because I didn't and I don't understand it totally. I believe in a world of spiritual reality that it may be even more true and more real than what we live in our daily lives and in this physical reality. We are physical. We are celebrate Christmas in a lot of physical matters. We have give gifts. It's commercialized. And to me, Christmas is a large group of people, what was once called pagans, come together to express the birth of Christ. However we do it, it's the fact that we do it. I think that's important. And it's not about giving gifts. One can simply be nice to somebody else, and that's a gift. It's not about going out and buying something. If that's what you want to do, great. If you don't want to, that's great. That's how I see it. We're not asked to do various different things. It's about love. This is about love. A God who loves us no matter what. Some may get bogged down in the idea that, well, Jesus never asked us to celebrate his birth. Well, it's a pagan holiday. It's Constantine who started it. It's the winter solstice. And on and on and on. You can come up with all kinds of reasons why you don't want to celebrate and the problems that you have. But I say celebrate. The first Christmas that has been recorded, the way I, when I looked it up, was Constantine, December 25th, which would have been the winter solstice, and 336. That's the first recorded Christmas, if you go and Google it, that I came up with. Ulysses Grant in 1870 made it a national holiday. Sometimes when we gather together in families and whatnot, it's almost like the National Lampoon's Christian Vacation, the Griswold families, isn't it? I mean, you have to admit that I watched that again last night. That's a funny movie. I mean, isn't that what it's like sometimes? It's just unbelievable, the things that when people come together, I just laughed. I thought it was really. But still, they celebrated, you know, and they had a lot of love. I mean, it's just a lot of love. I mean, no matter what, they came together and they had a love that came. Emmanuel, God with us. I believe the Bible is a long history of God trying to say to us, I'm out here. Hey, I'm out here. Hey, what's the matter? Can't you see me? It's a long story of how he did it. And is still doing it. you know, to raise up a chosen people to be priests of the world, but yet that even failed. To send his son into the world as a babe, but even that has somewhat, we still don't live the way what Christ told us to live. I would say, if I was God looking down at humanity, I would consider them the Griswold family. That's what I would say. And I would say, I'm just going to save you all. I don't think that anybody here can really say who deserves it and who don't. I think it's a love that is so much greater than we can even understand. How do I get the Christmas story out of King Nebuchadnezzar? Isn't the Christmas story about realizing that God exists, that the world doesn't center around myself or yourself or your political views or those political views, or whether I believe exactly what Jesus was the Son of God or if Jesus was a human? There's a whole array of ideas. To me, it's about believing. And then when it gets to what you believe, we can discuss it. But it's about, for King Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it about the Christmas story? He realized that there was more than him. He was greater when he believed than what he was before. Isn't that what the Christmas story is about? Isn't that what the message of love is? When we express love in a way, Christ-like love, we are greater than what we are. It makes us something more than what we are. So I see the Christmas story in this story, even though it's not the Christmas story, traditional Christmas story. A love so great that it cannot be measured. It cannot be contained. It flows like a river. A God who loves all of humanity and provided a plan to save all of humanity. Not just some. No one is righteous, no, not one. To me, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with humanity. Amen.
Lambs and feeding sheep, to whom God's did appear, which put the shepherds in great fear. Prepare and go, the angel said, to Bethlehem. Be not afraid, for there you'll find this happy morn, the princely babe, sweet Jesus born. Shepherds went the babe to find, and as God's angel had foretold, they did our Savior grace behold. Within a manger he was laid, and by his side the Virgin Maid, attending on the Lord of life, who came to earth and all strife. Good people, on this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done. In sending his beloved son, God's own son,
everyone who comes through our doors. In his name we pray. Amen.